everyone, it's Sherry. First of all, I just want to thank you all for joining us. We are so excited that you are tuned in. We greatly appreciate you for being here. You could have been anywhere else, but you're tuned in, so we appreciate you. Thank you so much. This podcast is something that we literally just said, hey, let's step out on faith. We're going to try something new. We're going to try something different. We want to share our story. We want to encourage others. So we started with a podcast. We hope that it touches someone. We hope that you're encouraged, that you're inspired, that you can work through some of the things that you may be dealing with. We are by no means experts. We're not perfect. We're just sharing our story and what works for us. You can take something, maybe tweak it to fit you, and you know, we're just gonna have some fun. We're gonna talk, we're gonna laugh, we might cry, we're just gonna have a great time. We're gonna use some biblical principles because we love God and we want to be the best that God has called us to be. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have a good time. Stay tuned, sit back, relax, enjoy. Up next is gonna be prayer from my man, my hubby, Ryan. So stay tuned, y'all.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you now, dear God. I ask you to touch every listener that's listening to us under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that you will open up the hearts and the minds of your people and open up our hearts and minds to receive your word and to speak whatever you have laid upon our hearts to share with your people, oh God. So, Lord God, I pray that you use us instruments of clay and mold us into the people that we need to be for your people so that you may get the glory. So, Lord God, I'm asking you just decrease us and you increase us, Lord God. Be in our hearts, be in our minds, be in our spirits. Guide us and teach us and show us how to reach the people, God. I'm praying that, Lord God, that you will send us people who are wanting to learn or maybe experience how to love one another better, how to communicate better, how to better understand each other. I'm praying that, Lord God, someone will get something out of this and be able to take it. And God, I'm just praying that whatever seeds that we deposit into them, Lord God, that you will be the sun and allow the word to manifest in their lives so that they can grow spiritually more into you, oh God. Jesus, I plead your blood upon this podcast, I plead your blood upon this, upon the listeners and the people. And I thank you for all that you've done for us, dear God. Keep us and bless us. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey everyone, wasn't that prayer awesome? That was amazing. We are going to go ahead and get started. We're with our first question or our first segment. And the first question or segment that we're going to do is we want to talk about what we were doing before we met. So I'm going to let Ryan Starr, and he can talk about what he was doing before he met me. Right?
Well, before I met my wife, I was just in the process of moving back to Jacksonville. It was in a season of my life where I was trying to start over and have some time to myself because I had went through a divorce and had to start over from scratch. and I had to rededicate myself back to my church home. I was working for the military base as a civilian worker, as a customer service agent, they call it. And it was fun. It was fun.
Customer service agent.
Yeah. It was fun. I enjoyed
it. That sounds like customer service agent, like regular, but, you know, agent. I don't know. Anyway, okay.
Yeah. But it was interesting. I didn't like my boss. But it was like I said, it was cool. But other than that, I was just trying to find myself. I was trying to regroup. I was actually trying to refocus, recalibrate, and just get myself together, you know. Because like divorce, it's like death. It's like someone died. You know, you have to go through a grieving process. So, you know, you've been with someone for a good length of time, and then next thing you know, boom, that happens. So I had to heal. So going through a healing process, and I had to, like I said, just start all over again. And it was tough. I ain't gonna lie. It was tough. You know, coming back home, and it was shocking to everybody, because they didn't know I was coming back, you know. Everybody thought I was just coming to visit. No, I was coming back to stay. I was like, what? Yeah. So, but I'm going to tell you a brief little thing, you know, that really confirmed me to where it got me back to Jacksonville. So I got back around like the end of September 2016, and I kept wanting to rejoin my church. So 3 weeks then went by. Bishop never did altar call, or never did the opening doors of the church, you know. So I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, this is unusual. Like, I want to just walk down the aisle and rededicate myself back to my church and, you know, be a member again. So one day I was getting up for church. I was kind of running late. And
you always run late. I'm just saying, okay. I had to throw that in there. All right.
Get back. So anyway, I was running late, and I was like, okay, I'm hungry. I want to stop and get something to eat. So I went to McDonald's, sat in the drive-thru. I kid you not. I was sat in that drive-thru line for about a good 5-7 minutes. That line did not move. And I felt like this sensation or feeling, or, you know, maybe it was God speaking to me, but I felt something very heavy on me, and I felt the urge, like, hurry up. You know, it was a sense of urgency feeling. So I began to get out of the drive-through line of McDonald's and getting ready to turn down the road to go to my church. And how about the line start moving? So I was like, what the heck, man? They would wait till I leave. So there it is again. Second time I'm feeling this urge, like, hurry up, get to church. So I was rushing. I did a little speeding, you know, trying to help me get to church. So I got there. Church was unbelievably packed. You know, it was like sardines in a can, and people was on top of each other. And so I went upstairs. Normally I'm, you know, as I still do with me and my wife and my children, you know, I sit up front, you know, left side, third, fourth row. I always sit up front. But this particular time, I sat upstairs on the balcony on the first row. And, you know, the spirit was heavy. It was heavy in there, you know. I'm sitting there, I'm rocking back and forth, leaning side to side. And next thing you know, my, you know, Bishop, he just told the musicians to stop playing. He told the people just start praying. So, you know, all the deacons, the ministers, elders, mothers, everybody just surround the church. So he said, there's two on the left and there's one in the balcony need to get up and join right now. So I was like, oh my God. You know, I was like, is this it right here? This right here? And I didn't felt I didn't feel like he was talking to me, but there was this tingling sensation, and I felt it before. So the tingling sensation was the spirit. You know, I know it's the Holy Spirit. So I felt it before, with laying on the hands and things like that. But I ain't trying to drown you out, my boy, with my, what I'm trying to say. I'm getting to my point. So, so what happened was this. This is what happened. So two people on the left side, they literally got up. So he stood in the middle of the aisle to where I can see him physically. And over the balcony, you know, he's just stood there underneath where I was standing. And he said, oh, and there's still one in the balcony. And when he said that, you know, like how that orchestra hit feeling and the music, like, dun, that's what I felt, you know. And there was this guy that walked up to me. Never met this guy a day in my life. And I thought it was an angel. And the guy said, God told me to come ask you, why are you still sitting here? And I was like, what? I'm like, what you mean? So for some reason, God placed you on Bishop's heart. So God told me to come and ask you, why are you sitting here? Do you want me to walk down there with you? Or what? Like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, this ain't what I want. Like, I want him to say, you know.
They call you by name, basically, like, no, Ryan, come down here.
No, not call me by name, but more so say, you know, if you want to join the church, come join the church. You know, that's what I was expecting more so of. So the guy said, listen, and Bishop said, I'm not moving till they come. So he said, keep praying. So I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay, this can't be for real. Like, it is real. Like, is God really telling me this? But is this where I need to be? This, like, I'm home. Like, am I good? And I was like, okay, all right, forget it. Let's go. So I get down there, and the doors open up, and they said, and one is coming. And I walk down the aisle, and everybody, I'm hearing people call my name, Ryan, welcome home, baby. Hey. You know, I felt the cheers. I felt like I was a celebrity walking down the red carpet, you know. And it was just a good feeling. But that's a little bit about me and what I was doing before I met my wife.
Okay, so I got a question. If you was a member at the church since you was like 11, right? Was it like 9, 11?
9 years old.
Okay, since 9. And then you move away, like temporarily or whatever. How long was you gone? 5 years?
5 long years.
So you moved away 5 years, and then you come back. You got to rejoin your church. Like, I feel like, shouldn't you be like a member for life? Like, if you've been there since you was a little kid, and well, you come back home, like, do you really have to rejoin? Or
yeah, because, you know, after a certain time, you know, the system kind of kicks you out. So you have to rededicate yourself. You know, if you've been going for a while, you haven't been there, you haven't been active, okay, you know, paying your tithes, doing things in the church, in the ministry, you know, they consider you non-active or non-member. So you have to rededicate yourself to the church. You know, if you left, you know, for a length of time, you have to rededicate yourself. You know, just like, you know, with Christ, you know, some people, you know, get the life of Christ, and then they go right back to the streets. So what they call nowadays backsliders. So you have to repent and get yourself back right with the Lord. So that's what I had to do with the church.
I got to do that daily. Okay. Well, I was just, you know.
Absolutely. So, Miss Sherry, my lovely wife, what about you?
So for me, what was I doing before I met you? I was working full-time, single mom of 5 amazing babies by myself. Yes, I have 5 babies by myself. I was working full-time. I was active in my church, dancing, all of that. Like, just, you know, serving God. But I kind of went through this little phase or whatever before, like kind of before I met you, I went through this phase where I went through a divorce. And for me, divorce ain't feel like death, because I, like, for me, once I make up my mind, like, okay, I'm done with this, I'm done with it, and I'm not looking back. So it didn't really, my divorce didn't hurt me as bad as I thought. Like, because basically I was like, okay, I'm done. I moved on. I moved out. I got my stuff. I got my life together and I was good. But what I didn't realize was that I still had, you know, I was basically still hurt. I still had things that I had to overcome. And then, you know, here I am, a single Christian woman, you know, part of the church. And I didn't know how to be that because the last time I had been single, I was in the world. And, you know, in the world, anything goes. Like, I can do what I want. I can, without any, you know, I didn't have any conviction at that time to some of the things that I did. So being single in the church was very different. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be, or I made it a lot harder than,
ooh, yeah,
you know, what I thought. So I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do now? Like, I don't even know how to do it myself. You know, I was functioning. I maintained my spiritual life. I maintained my children. I had all that on point. Everything was on lock, bills, children, church, you know, being active. That was good. But at night, you know, at home and alone by myself, most of the time it was kind of, I ain't gonna say lonely, because I'm kind of like a loner anyway. Like, I don't mind sitting home by myself all the time, not being bothered. Like, that doesn't bother me.
For me, it sucks.
It's gravy for me. Like, I love when, you know, people just leave me alone. So it wasn't me being lonely. Like, it was just the fact that, like, okay, although I just got, you know, this marriage or whatever, like, for me, it was like, okay, I was married to the wrong person, I feel. Like, I was married to the wrong person. So then I don't want to say my soul, but there was a part of me that was like, okay, I know that there's a person for me that God created for me. And so now, since I've been in this marriage or whatever, like, now I'm just really, I don't know, I just had this urge, like, to really want to be in a relationship, and I wanted a real marriage. And although I wasn't in a rush, I just kept having this feeling. And I mean, so much to the point where I prayed for God to take it away. I was like, Lord, just take it away. I don't want to desire to be in a relationship. I just want to focus on God. I want to be better. I want to do better. I don't want to repeat what I went through before. So
same thing I said.
So I was like, take it away, Lord, take it away, take this feeling away. Let me be content, you know, being with me and my babies. Like, I just want to be content. And most of the time I was, but then I had my moments when I wasn't. So anyway, what I decided to do, because I joined this, it was like a Facebook group for women. And there's a girl that kind of teaches, because from my experience and from what I was around, a lot of women, especially single women in the church, we kind of, like, speaking for myself, I don't know, I'm just saying that it was almost like taboo to talk about wanting to be in a relationship, because all they teach is focus on God. Don't worry about being in a relationship. It's better to be single, you know, and that sounds good and everything. But when you in that situation and when you're single and you're trying to do right and live right, it's kind of a little bit difficult. So anyway, I joined this Facebook group and she just talked about, you know, we just took different steps to pretty much get our life together and make sure we were on track so that we can attract, you know, what we want to bring to our lives. So we just did little small, you know, different little assignments. We, you know, like prayer boxes and affirmations and, I mean, the whole works of just pretty much getting your life all the way together, get preparing yourself for when you're going to meet your person. And I literally, on a live webinar one night, I was like, you know, I don't know, there's a question and answer segment. And I said, hey, you know, I have been praying to God to take away the desire for me to want to be married. And it was a husband and wife segment, and the husband, you know, kind of told me, he said, hey, don't pray for that. God created us to be, You know, we're relational people. He created us to be that way. He says, so don't pray for God to take away the desire. Pray for God to prepare you for the desire. And from that point on, I was like, you know what? You're right. I just started preparing myself. I started reading books. I started making sure that I was living a healthy lifestyle and, you know, just trying to get my life together and just boss up my life so that I could be ready for when I did meet the right person. And y'all know us, we can be impatient. So of course, going through that whole process, you know, myself, my flesh and the enemy gonna come on in, and I went through some stuff. Like, it wasn't easy. I went through a lot. Like, the more I tried to get better, it seemed like the more daggers were thrown at me. I got just hit from the left and the right. And so I went through a little phase, you know, I did. I'm not gonna lie, I went through a little phase and I was just living my, I ain't gonna say best life, but what the world would say, living their best life. I was just doing me. I was having a good time. So anyway, yeah, that's what I was doing. Just kind of, you know, working on myself, but going through, fighting through the struggles and just trying to reach that point to where I needed to be. So yeah, that's what I was doing.
Awesome. Awesome.
We're gonna go on to the next question.
All right. All right, we're back into it. So now we're going to talk to you and let you know how we met. So Sherry, how did we meet?
Yeah. Who is Sherry?
You, Sherry.
Oh, anyway, I can't stand you. So we met on POF online, right? So
for people out there who don't know what POF is,
it's a dating app website. And listen, I always said I ain't never gonna meet nobody on no dating line website, whatever you want to call it. That's not for me. It's not my thing. But let's just never say never. So you want to tell the process of, because I mean that's pretty much it. We met online. I was, you know, like I said, a single mom. I really didn't leave the house too much, and you know, so I wasn't really running into nobody. And
man, you know, listen, let me tell you something about POF.
Hot mess.
Warning. Don't warning.
We looked up. We got blessed.
You. Yeah, this had to be heaven made. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Don't go on there ever.
Because I was on there for 3 months. And for the past, those 3 months that I was on there, it was rough. I was like, what the heck? You know, let me explain it to you like this here. Being in a relationship, going to marriage, and then getting divorced, and then trying to date again, that is terrible. it's horrible.
It's a challenge for sure.
Because you're still in the mindset of monogamy. You know what I mean? You still want to be with just one person. You know, all that trying to talk to this person, talk to that person, getting the person's number.
It's exhausting.
It's very exhausting. And look here, ain't nobody got time for that.
Right.
Okay. But I went on a couple of dates with people. I tried to talk to a couple of people and just like, it was just unreal because I'm like, okay, your mindset is not where I'm at. You know, I got a future. You know, I got goals and dreams that I want to accomplish. And if you're not going the same places where that we can try to go together, it ain't going to work. So when I met this girl, when she had a profile picture, I still remember it.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Oh, man.
Oh, here we go.
It was beautiful. I said, ooh, this girl is cute. Good Lord. Because, listen, I didn't know that she was on there. But she wrote me. You know, and I was genuine about what I had said.
Nah, you know? Hold on. Wait. See, hold on. Can't you say she wrote me like I just came for you? Because I did.
POF,
they have the little, I don't know, it's something called like the people, because like when you complete your profile, they have like the people that I guess are like a high match for you. So they kind of like match you with people that are close to whatever your profile is.
Well, listen. All I did was just, you know, openly, honestly explain who I am, what I am, what I'm looking for, what's my reasons on there. And a lot of females will tell me, like, oh my God, like, why are you on here? Like, you should already be in a relationship with somebody, yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying? And when Shay came to me, you know, she complimented me, but I had to check her out. And I went to check her out. I said, oh, I'm going to snatch this one. I'm going to get this one.
His profile was pretty dope. So I was on there. First of all, I wasn't on there that long because I can't deal with the wretchedness, like, and the heathens. Like, I just don't have tolerance for it. But anyway, so I was on there one day and I'm just scrolling through. And I, like I said, his profile showed up in my little high match, whatever. So me, I'm the type, I'm going to go through your profile. I'm going to read it. I'm going to look at your pictures. I'm checking everything. So I was looking. I was like, oh, let me see what this is about. And I wasn't thinking anything of it, honestly, because I was over it at that point. I was like, whatever. I don't have time for this. But so I looked at his profile. And, like, when I tell you, everything he said sounded just like me. Like, he was going in. He was
what I said. What I told you.
First of all, I don't understand why y'all females be on here. I ain't giving you no money. Like, he was just going in, like, I'm here for X, Y, and Z. Like, he just plain cut and dry, clear. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, he know what he want. Like, that's cool. So, I did message him, and I said, hey, you know,
nice
your profile is really nice, you know, very impressive or whatever. I don't think I said impressive, but I was like, you got a nice profile, and I really hope that you find what you're looking for. Because initially, I wasn't trying to, you know, check for him. I wasn't coming for him like, hey, you cute, like, can we talk? No. I just said, hey, your profile is really nice. Like, I really admire your profile. It's great.
Yeah.
And that was it. I left it at that. I didn't expect no response. I didn't even write it for a response. I was just letting him know, like, I really hope you find, you know, your queen, your wife, your girl, whatever you're looking for, I hope you find it. And I left it at that. I went on by my way.
Nah, I went for let it go. Listen here. I cast my fishing rod into the water and I got that fish. You hear me? So,
oh my God, why gotta be a fish though?
So here I am. That's why it's called Plenty of Fish. So anyway, you know, I reeled her in, talked to her, you know, we talked, chatted and everything, text and wrote me back, you know, wrote each other back and forth. And it was just history from there. So, I mean, look at us now, man. We've been together 2 years, about to be married a whole year.
Yeah.
A whole year, bro. Like,
hey, it went by super
unbelievable.
Fast. Time flies when you
But I tell time. Anybody, I tell anybody this. And I tell her to her face and she can vouch for me. She only got me for 89 more years.
Oh, my God.
But seriously, though, she is the best choice, best decision that I've ever made with a person. With a person. She's the best choice. My past relationships, they can't even touch her. Literally, they can't touch her. Like, she's like, oh, man. She's up there. She's up there. You feel me? Like, can't nobody compare to this woman.
And she bougie.
Yeah, she bougie as ever. When she drinks, she puts a pinky finger up in the air.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? You know, always correcting me with my proper words. Like, I tell her she is mines. M-I-N-E-S, mines.
F-Y-I, y'all.
She is mines. I don't care what nobody says. She's mines. She knows she mines. Wow. She knows she mines. So she mines. But, yeah, so that's how we met.
All right, that was good. Okay, so the next segment is challenges of a new relationship. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how, you know, starting a new relationship, some of the things that we had to endure and overcome. Because we all know that when you first start talking to somebody, it's great. It's all good. We call each other 1,000 times a day. We text each other 1,000 times a day. And we just super nice to each other and we just, oh, I love him so much. Or like, whatever, you know, not love, but like. So we're going to start off by talking about some of the challenges that we had to go through. So, babe, you there?
Yeah,
are you listening? Okay. What's some of the challenges that we had to face in our new relationship?
I don't really know, but I mean, you know, just a lot of things like, okay, for one example, you know, I like water a lot.
You like juice and sodas and stuff. And that was a huge challenge for me because all I drink is water. All I would buy is water. And I would get mad. I listen, people, hear me. Hear me clearly.
I understand that one.
I would get mad because when we go out to restaurants, like, only thing I drink is water, you know?
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And then when I go and say, hey, what you want to drink? Let me get a Pepsi or let me get a fruit punch or whatever. And I would get mad. I would literally, inside, I would have this ball of fire just raging. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's another $2.50 I got to pay on top of the money. You know what I'm saying? On top of the meal.
So it ain't about the water. It's you just being cheap and won't pay for my time.
It was challenging because, you know, I'm just used to water. Like, I had a scare. I had a scare when I was little, you know. I used to drink juice a lot. I used to drink Kool-Aid a lot. I used to drink all types of drinks when I was little. And someone told me, said, hey, this is what happened to your teeth if you don't stop drinking all this juice. So ever since then, you know, there was like, you know, all thing you need to drink is water. So now all I drink is what?
That was water. Brainwashed. They brainwashed you because, first of all, that's a topic for another day. But when you... Yeah, anyway, that's a topic for another day, brainwashing children, and then you grow up to be a certain type of way. But anyway, so I do drink water. I love water, but I just don't drink water 24/7 like he does. And so the challenge is, because we talk about the challenge was that he want me to drink water all the time like him, and I'm just going to be me. And I'm like, no, I don't want no water. I want some flavor, especially with my food. Like, I can't just drink water with my food. I need some flavor to go along with my food. Like, I'll drink water any other time, but I'm gonna have my coffee in the morning. I'm gonna have me some tea at night, like a nice hot tea. And I drink juice. I'm not that big on soda, but I will have a soda every now and then if I have a taste for it. So, I guess that was a challenge. I mean, and that's like, what am I trying to say? Like, in short, basically, having two different type personalities was a challenge because now we got to learn how to accept each other and you know, love each other despite the differences that we have. And, man, that's not even a challenge of a new relationship. That's a challenge of just a relationship, period. Even now being married, we still have our things where I'm, like, looking at him like, okay, like, why do you do that? Why are you like that? And that doesn't mean anything is wrong with him. It's just that we're different. We just two different people trying to mesh and become one person. So, yeah, that was, I guess, one of the challenges.
But there was another time, too, because I'm looking at something. And
we still talking about water, right?
No,
okay.
I'm not talking about water. But it was, you know, it was a moment where we was in marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. And Bishop had said, it's okay to be happy, you know. And what I'm reading right now, it says, letting go and reminding yourself that it's okay to be happy. Things are so great at the beginning that it can often feel like you're just sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop. But really try not to do this. Enjoy your fresh love. They're rare and wonderful, you know. And I was like, you know, wondering like how she really felt, you know. And for me, for her, we both are divorcees, but you know, we're married now. But I always wondered, how does she really feel about spending the rest of her life with me for 89 more years, you know?
Oh, here we go.
But you know, it was just the looks on her face sitting there in marriage counseling, you know, like, I don't think this is real. I don't believe that this is really happening. Like, are we really doing this? Like, is this where I'm really supposed to be? Yada, yada, yada. You know, and I really truly believe that the Spirit of God spoke to our bishop and told her, like, it's real. You know, enjoy it. You know, you're building a life together. You know, be happy. You know, and now look at us. You know, we're 2 years in. You know, we're about to be a year married. And it was a challenge because, you know, I was wondering how she felt, and she was, you know, probably maybe scared. But I mean, she can elaborate more on it. But it was a challenge for me because I was like, I want to really make sure that she's okay, that she's good, you know, because I was trying to put my best foot forward to try to win her heart. And I did. I succeeded in doing what I desired to do.
You still got some work to do.
I won her heart. I won her heart. That's all I got to say. I'm married to her. Her name is MRS, period, DALLAS. Her.
Okay. yeah, I mean, it was a challenge because, like, you know, all the time, we say, oh, I want to be in a relationship. Like, I want to be married and whatnot. And I knew that I was a wife and I was meant to be a wife. And so even though I knew that, that doesn't mean that it naturally just happened. Like, I have to work every single day to be that woman because I have been in some terrible relationships and I don't want to give them like a whole lot of power, but some of the things that they did to me broke me. And so I was kind of like over it. And I'm like, you know, is it me? You know, what did I do? Like, to make them treat me this way? I don't know. Maybe I wasn't good enough, et cetera, et cetera. You know, some of the things that might be going through women's head. But
hold on.
I have overcome that.
Hold on before you. I want to say something real quick before I forget it. For the man that's listening to this, understand this. Coming from a man, when you get with a woman that's broken, understand how to be patient with her. Understand how to put yourself in her shoes and say, okay, if she's been through this, she's been through that, avoid doing those things. You know, there are some things that that I did or was doing, like, especially depending, like, I have an app on my phone, you know, I play flight simulator games, I play other type of games, and it reminded her of certain situations from her past, and I had to remind her, like, baby, you know, don't think that way of me, you know, I'm still here, you know, I'm not going to ignore you, and, you know, I had to let her know that, and that was a challenge for her. Because she's like, okay, here he go. He on the phone. He playing a game.
Yeah, I hate them games.
You know, he's ignoring me. And I had to tell her, like, listen, baby, it's not like that. You know, you know I'm here for you. I'm you know, this relationship here is ride or die. You feel me? So, but yeah. Go ahead. Finish what you say.
Yeah, anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought. But for the women, you also have to, like, piggyback on what he said. You have to work on, you know, the issues that you have within, and don't carry over, you know, your, I guess, insecurities from a previous relationship into a new relationship, because to him, you know, he's just doing what he liked to do. He's just playing his game. You know, he's used to doing that. He used to chilling pretty much, being a single man, he could do what he want, but, you know, coming into a relationship is kind of like, I felt ignored and I don't think it was intentional, but the key is communication, just communicating about it.
Exactly.
And talking about it and saying, hey, this is how this makes me feel and why. Because sometimes you can say how something makes you feel, but you got to know why it makes you feel that way so that we can compromise and work through each.
Big word, compromise.
Huge word, huge. But anyway, so yeah, that just being hurt, you know, in the past, it doesn't melt away overnight. You have to literally work. You gotta work at it every day. Like, for me, I have to work a little harder, I feel, than others, because I do, you know, and I have suffered from, you know, mental anxieties and depression and stuff like that. So I can't just sit around and lay around. Like, I have to, you know, I have to get up and do something about it. I can't just lay in it. Because if I do, I'll go to a, like, really, really crazy deep dark place, and I don't want to be there, but that's another conversation for another day as well. So yeah, that was a challenge. Anything else, like any other challenges? I'm trying to think, because honestly, we meshed pretty good. We really did. And we were like really fast friends. Like, I was like, that's my dude. Like,
and we got on
really, really well, but we still had our stuff. We still have our stuff to this day. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, a challenge for me was, like, I'm so used to being kind of to myself, and he really, like, outgoing and crazy and goofy, and I was more like the serious type. So he used to always say that I was too serious. And to me, I'm not just being serious. I was just so mature and so used to, like, I'm a single mom. Like, I have to grind. I have to do this. I have to do X, Y, and Z. I don't have time to play. I don't have time to sit around. Like, I have to do, make moves, basically. And he wasn't used to that. He was like, you don't never rest. You don't never take. My husband going to get his nap in, okay? He going to take a nap. You
better believe that.
I can't take a nap because my brain never shuts off and I'm like always going like 24/7. If I lay down, I'm like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be doing this. Oh my God, I'm supposed to be doing that. It's like, I can't shut my brain off. So we have to, and I'm still like that to this day. I rest a little bit more now, but then I was still in, okay, single mom work mode because I'm not going to just let my guards down that fast because I don't know, you know, this may work, it may not. And not even out of negative, you know, standpoint, just not knowing, like, okay, are we really gonna make it? Like, is this relationship it really any different? It, you know, and I'm just glad that we stuck it out. But let me tell y'all something. This dude broke up with me, right? He literally broke up with me one good time, and he said he didn't, but he did. And I didn't take it too well, because I'm like, I don't let my guard down. I don't let you meet my children. I let you come to my house. And I let you into my little bubble, my little world. And he broke up with me, y'all.
No, it was a reason.
He broke up with me.
It was a reason. I didn't break up with
her. My feelings was real hurt because I'm like, oh my God, I had already told people that I was in this relationship. Like, how stupid. Like, I felt dumb.
Nope.
I felt dumb.
Nope.
I didn't know the reason at the time why he did what he did. And I didn't care. Like, I didn't want to hear that. I'm like, no, this is it. Because, see, my mind at this point, being divorced, twice divorced, might I add, twice divorced, yes, I was married twice, and being twice divorced, like, I'm like, okay, if you come into my life, my world, you stuck, bro, you ain't going nowhere. So he broke up with me. I was real mad. I was big mad.
Again, clarification, I didn't break up with her.
He definitely did.
I took some time away. You know, I shut down. I shut down because I was like, okay, God, you know, I have strong feelings for this woman. I really like her. Her children adore me. Oh my God, listen, her children are the best kids in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, like, I went trading for $1 million, like, for real. They are fun.
But y'all can watch them sometimes if y'all like. I mean, let me just throw that in there.
They are so fun.
They're like, real cute.
And I'm goofy, so my goofiness matched their goofiness, and they laugh, you know what I'm saying? And we have fun. Like, there's been moments I fathered them. There's been moments that I talked to them. There's been moments where we pray together, we eat together, we go hang out, we have fun. Like, all that, I love card. I like card games. So we play card games together. We go to church together, all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love those children. Like, they're my own. But I really did. I had to shut down. Let's say, because God, listen, I don't want to make the same mistake I did before. Because when I was married my first time, I wanted to be married. I wanted the relationship. I wanted it. It was what I wanted, but it wasn't what God wanted for me. So since I kept saying, God, give it to me. Listen, I'm going to tell you, warning. Hey, whatever you ask God for, he going to give it to you. Be careful what you ask for.
Oh, yeah.
You understand me? Definitely. Trust me. So, at any rate, I went on ahead and I went on a fast for like maybe like two weeks, you know. And I wasn't talking to her every day.
He didn't talk to me at all during that time. He was like cold.
I did not
like
talk.
Straight cold.
I did not talk to her.
At all.
I did not talk to her, you know, consistently. I didn't, you know, reach out to her. I didn't check on her. I didn't do any of that. You know, all I did was spend my time in prayer and fasting. I fasted for this relationship. I really did. I fasted. And I asked God. I said, God, show me her heart. You know, and I said, because I want to make sure I'm making the right choice, making the right decision, because I don't want to do this again. I don't want to go through this hurt, this cycle of, you know, someone telling me they like me and they love me. And the next thing you know, they mess around with their exes or talking to someone else on the low or telling me that somebody is texting them. Telling me that they're using the text app so they can trap me and see if I'm reading their phones. You know, like, that's what happened in my past. So I was like, I don't want to go through it again. So I said, Lord, show me her heart. And if she's the woman for me, then God, release her to me and allow me to be the man I need to be for her. And I kid you not, y'all, I got my answer on the 13th day. And I said, okay, God, I hear her heart. I hear her. She's pouring out. She's telling me this. She's telling me that. And God, I'm sensitive. You know how sensitive I am to other people. So I hear her heart. So I prayed about it again. I went to her house. And, you know, I talked to her and everything and all that. And she said, man, boy, if you was around me, I want to punch you in your face.
I'm going to hurt you.
I went on here. I proposed to her. And, you know, she said yes. And here we are, a year later, married.
I said yes, but... No, actually, you text me and you said whatever you said. I don't know. It's really long and I really, you know, want this to work, blah, blah, blah. I really want us to go to counseling.
Yep.
And so I said, okay, well, make it happen. If you serious, make it happen. I'm, because at this point, my guard was a little bit back up because I'm like, how he just gonna, you know, open up my emotions and my feelings, and I'm a crybaby. Like, I'll, you know, don't open up my emotions, my little floodgates, because then I can't stop crying and whatever. But anyway, he, you know, texts me, and because I was at work, I think. And so I said, well, okay, well, if you're serious, then make it happen. Go find us a counselor or whatever. Find us somewhere that we can go for personal counseling. It was personal, not like, you know, in the church or whatever, because we wanted to get our individual lives together as well. So we went to counseling out in the community, and it was good, like, to just for him to show me that, okay, I'm willing to do this and to go to counseling together to work on, you know, our issues and everything. So that was good. And then he came, well, After the text, he came over and he said what he had to say. I was kind of like, eh, you know, whatever. Like, okay, I was a little cold because I'm like, is he serious? Like, I don't know if he's serious. But he came over and he got down on one knee and I'm sitting here like, okay, I wasn't expecting that, but okay. Like, so I said yes with stipulations. I said, yes, okay, if we're going to do this, then this got to happen, this got to happen, this got to happen. We definitely have to go to counseling. And so that's what we did. We went to counseling, we worked on it, and here we are. That was what, like 6 months into the relationship happened?
That's right.
6 months in.
6 months in, I knew it. Listen, let me tell you, for the men who listen as well, don't drag a woman on. Don't leave her on. Don't be with a woman for 6 and 7 years, 2 and 3, 4, 5 years. You laying up with her, sleeping with her, doing all these activities and all the type of stuff with her. Don't waste her time. Listen, women like to be courted. Women like to, they like consistency. They like to be talked to. They like to be shown and appreciated love. Or they like all that stuff. Women like attention. They love it. They thrive off of it. They crave it. Listen, whatever you deposit into a woman, you're going to get back from her. If you give her a seed, she's going to give you a baby. You understand what I'm saying? If you give her a house, she's going to make it a home. You know, you give her food, she's going to make you a meal. You know, so whatever you give to her, she's going to give back to you. So if you give her love, she's going to give you back greater love. You know what I mean? Whatever you give to her, it's going to come back. Because women are like sponges. They absorb everything. Whatever you put into her, you're going to get it back. So if you make her mad, make her angry, guess what? Whatever happens, she's going to do the same thing back to you. Because she's only going to do it because you're doing it. So women are created to follow our lead. That's what God made the man the head, the woman the co-head. So wherever the man goes, the woman follows. You know, so if you're not being a leader, she's not going to follow you. She's going to detour off, just like Eve did. You know, and I'm not saying that's what Eve did, but her actions showed what she did, you know, by eating the forbidden fruit. God specifically said, do not eat it. And the man, you know, we as men, we are easily seduced by women.
But
you know,
she was deceived.
But yeah, she was deceived. But you know, a woman knows how to talk to a man. She knows how to break a man down. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And
it's called power of influence.
And what she, and exactly. And what she said to him, you know, he's like, well, if it's like that, well, let me get a bite of that. Hopefully nothing happens. And what happens? They both was exposed. You know what I mean? And God, you know, said what he said to the devil, said what he said to the woman, he said what he said to the man. And that's why we are in the situation we are in today, you know?
Well, anyway, with that being said, my main thing was not even attention and all that. Because like I said, I'm so used to being by myself. It's ridiculous. But you distracted me. That's distracting. But anyway, my main thing was...
Stop.
Stab you with this man. My main thing was that to have a man that loves God. Like, I wanted a man of God. I wanted someone to pray with me, for me, and, you know, just to walk our Christian life together. Because being in a relationship, it is what it is. So, yeah. I just want a man of God. So, I'm glad I got that.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Check out the next segment. All right, guys. We're back right now, live again. What did we really do to make our relationship grow? Here's a couple of things, you know. To build a relationship, whichever way you want to put it. we prayed about it, you know, together as well, and individually. We did some tests together. The love language, we did that. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Let's see, we did the counseling.
Counseling, yes.
Texting, talking, hanging out, spending time together, bonding, dates. I missed that.
We ain't been on a good date in a minute. Yeah. It's been a hot little minute.
Yeah, we need to go on a date. Yeah. I remember our first date, we went to the Jaguars draft party.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a huge LSU fan. Forget all you Bama haters. but anyway, my favorite player, Leonard Fournette, he got drafted in the first round by the Jacksonville Jaguars, 8th selection of the pick of the draft. And... you know, that was just exciting all by itself. You know, she came out, even though she wasn't a Jaguars fan, because she's a Georgia fan.
Georgia?
Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, Atlanta Falcons, yes.
Yeah, why you make that face?
Because I thought you were talking about, like, Georgia Bulldogs. I'm like, wait, we talking about NFL. Sorry. Look, thank you. See how much I know.
Stay on track.
Like, wait, I don't do Georgia. Okay.
But, yeah, so now she's on the bandwagon with the Jaguars.
I don't know about all that.
You know, she's there.
I will go to the game.
Like right now, she's wearing a Jaguar shirt. But anyway.
Because of him.
So that's some of the things we did. You know, we actually did those things to actually make our relationship work. And now there's still new things that we're still trying out. Like, this is new, the podcast. You know, I recommended that we should do it. Here we are. We're doing it. You know, she asked my opinion for the vision board. I gave her, you know, the vision for our family, and there it is. We made a vision board. You know, there's a lot of things that we've done, you know, to try to make our relationship grow, to make it work. Listen, you gotta court each other every day. You can't just, you know, do that all the beginning and then go on and then make a relationship, you know, effortless. You got to put in effort every day, you know, to make a relationship work. And that's what we do. Like, I'm a hugger. I like to hug.
She's not
a hugger. You know, I like to hug her. Ooh, a lot. All I do is hug. Like, come here. Come here, girl. Come here.
I can't stand it.
Yeah. So I love hugging. So I hug her a lot, you know. Eventually, she's going to hug. She's going to start coming to me, hugging me, you know. But it'll happen. It'll rub off.
Let the Lord do his good work.
That's right. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? So it's good. It's good. You know, we're in such a happy place. We're still newlyweds. So, yeah. What you want to say, babe?
So talking about what we did in the beginning to build our relationship to get to this point. One thing, me being the person I am, like my creative side, very, very artistic, creative type person. I love doing like arts and crafts and just creating things. Like, I have so much vision, like I see things, and so I have to almost have to like write it down. I write like everything out. So anyway, I had a vision for, you know, this relationship, because I'm like, wow, like this is really something real. Like, this is really a really good relationship. So I started off with a little small spiral notebook, right? Had a little notebook that I just started, and I just started doing my little doodling and writing, and I would look up different prayers, because I'm like, Lord, I don't want to go through another empty relationship. Like, I don't want to go through another possible, you know, getting married and divorced. Like, I don't want to do that. So let's start this relationship off, before we even get to that point, with something, you know, with some foundation. And the foundation was, you know, God and biblical principles. So what I did was I created this notebook, and pretty much just like a place for us to kind of communicate is how it started off, really small. And so I'm like, oh, you know, we can use this notebook. We can communicate, because for me, it's hard for me to sometimes openly say how I feel. So, and I'm a huge thinker, so I like to write down how I feel. And still to this day, I write my prayers out a lot, like, because I feel, I don't know, it's just more effective for me that way. So, and then I can go back and look at it also and see how I have grown. So that's what I did for our relationship. I started a notebook and just different things in there, different quizzes, and like, what's our favorite things, favorite colors, like all about me segments, like just so we can get to know each other better, know more about each other. And then in the end, in the long run, it ended up being a really, really good memory for not only us but our children as well. They can go back and look and say, wow, you know, y'all relationship really blossomed. And so it started off as a really tiny little spiral notebook, and now to this day it is a huge, huge, huge binder of just,
look at it, it's almost thick, like
I mean, I can't even fit any more pages in it. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how can I expand this, how can I make it bigger? But it's just, I mean, it's pictures, it's memories, it's prayers, it's quotes. So another thing that I did before we once he proposed and I knew, like, okay, this is my husband, like, I'm gonna be with this man, and we're gonna get married or whatever, once we start making the plans, I did I purchased this book. I forgot from who. I have to tell y'all a later date, but it's called 31 Days of Prayer for Your Future Husband. And so again, I can read the book, but for me to just read it was kind of like, eh, you know. So what I did was I took each day, so day one, and I wrote the prayers out, and I made it pertain to our relationship. So I changed, you know, some of the words, and I put his name in there. I added his name, and, you know, I actually started doing this before he proposed, before I knew for sure that we was going to get married. I started doing it beforehand because I'm like, you know, I think this is my future husband. I hope this is my future husband. But if it's not, hey, I got some prayers. I'm praying for that person. So he going to fall in line, or he going to move out the way, and my future husband going to come. But he just so happened to fall in line. So I did the 31 days of prayer for my future husband. I have, oh, what else is in there, babe? Like, different quotes and Bible scriptures.
Proverbs 31.
Oh, yeah, I wrote out Proverbs 31. I did confessions for husbands, confessions for wives. And just, like, you have to see it. Now, this is a visual thing. You really have to see it. It's really, 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 it's pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. But that just go to show how we have a vision for something, and we start something, and, We start something, but when God is in it, he'll come in and make it way bigger than what we even imagine. Oh my God, that is a word right there. Okay, anyway, but he'll come in and make it bigger than what we saw. So the point is to just start. Even with this podcast, we just start. We don't know. We don't have, you know, I have expectations that it's going to be something great and that's going to touch and inspire some lives, but we don't know what God is going to do with it. We just know as long as he's in it, it's going to be great. So that was, you know, some of the things we did to build our relationship. And what else, babe? Can you think of anything else?
That's it. So I can think of. But as far as that, you know, we worked at it. And that's what some people fail to realize.
Every day.
You know, you got to work at it every day.
Continuous work.
You
know,
you can't just, like I say, in the beginning, you know, put your best foot forward. And then once you get her, you slack off. You know, you can't do that. You got to keep fighting, keep pushing, keep striving. Find new ways, find new energies, find new lights and paths to take to keep the relationship fresh.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep doing the same old thing over and over again, because eventually it's going to get boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you're going to get tired of each other. You know, like, I joke with her every day, every moment I can. I try to find a new way to make her laugh. I like to see her smile. She has a beautiful smile. I challenge myself to do something new, something exciting, or something adventurous. I mean, this is new and exciting, adventurous, yeah, for us.
Definitely.
You know, so she's more into it than I am. I mean, I'm really into it, but she's way over the top.
It's your idea.
Yeah.
I'm just the organizer. Like, exactly. I'm the person that has to be like, okay, we're gonna do this, babe. We're gonna do it right. We're gonna organize, and we're gonna have some structure.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a learning process. You know, we're not gonna be perfect, I'm sure, but I'm just the structured person. I'm the organized person. So,
yeah,
you know, it's his idea, but I'm going to take what he, like he said, a man give you something, you're going to take it. A woman going to take it, and she going to, you know, own it and run with it. So that's just me. But yeah, so.
All right.
That's it. On to the next segment. All right, everyone. So this segment is our positive affirmation segment. This is something that's really, really major for me. Positive affirmations, like I said, I have struggled in the past with just so many different things. And so it really helps me to do positive affirmations and to speak, you know, good things out of my mouth. Because for a long time, all I knew was just negativity, and all I knew was just, you know, to say some of the things that had been spoken over me. But yeah, that had to change. I couldn't continue on like that. So for this segment, this is something that I personally want to do for each one, each segment, each show. Positive affirmations. So Proverbs 18:20-22 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I'm going to also read that was the King James Version. I'm going to read the Good News Translation, because it kind of makes it a little clearer for me. So I think it will help everyone else. And that one says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. So I think that's a little more clear, that what you say out of your mouth can make you or break you. So what we want to encourage is to stop saying things that are not of God. I don't care who told you that you weren't going to make it. Forget them. You are going to make it, because if you got to change. You got to make some changes in your life. You can't just live how you want to live. You definitely got to make changes and adjust to the word of God. Not, you know, living what God has spoken for us to live. So, positive affirmation. Yeah, just speak what God says about you. If you don't know what else to say, if you don't know any nice things to say about yourself, open your Bible and find some things. And that's what I do a lot. Like, I literally have to sometimes post. I make cute little sticky notes and I post them everywhere. Anywhere I'm at in the house all the time, I post them just randomly on the wall or my mirror. Especially before I got into a relationship, you know, I had to restore some things in myself from failed marriages or whatever. So I have positive affirmations everywhere. And so yeah, that's key. So even if you have to write them down, stick them all over. I had them in my car, in my books. Like, to this day, I can flip open a book or something and boop, it pops out, you know. So for this segment, the positive affirmation that I want to read is about pretty much relationships. And this is one that was really big for me because I had to know how to receive what I wanted. And what I wanted was love and a real, you know, happy, good relationship. So it says, I happily give and receive love each day. And it's just that simple. And you have to say it out loud. You know, you have to say, I have to say that. I happily give and receive love each day. Because that will open up my mind and my heart to be like, okay, you know what? This man is trying to love me. Let me receive it. Let me take this in and let me, you know that he is here to stay. So that's the bulk of it. Just speaking the things that so that your life can line up with what the word says. A quick story. I know this is our positive affirmation segment, but like my husband mentioned earlier in marriage counseling, we were talking with our bishop and first lady, and he did give us a word. Like God literally came in and he said that he sensed that I was kind of hesitant and I was unsure just because I didn't think that it was real, because I had so much happen to me over time and being in bad relationships. And so I kind of was like, it's almost like I was waiting for it to fall, for it to fail. So, he literally spoke that thing and he said, you know, this is real. You can let your guard down because it's real. So, I mean, when I tell you, I just burst out into tears, like, wow, I can actually now receive what he's trying to give me, because I don't have to be on guard and wonder if he gonna just bail or if he gonna walk away or if he's gonna do something damaging to my spirit. So that was good. The word was for us to build a life together. And so that's what we've been doing. We have really been working hard at that. And building your life together is interesting, because sometimes, you know, you got to lose something in order to build something new. You know, if the building is still standing, how can you build it? It has to be knocked down. So we lost some things. We lost a lot of things, actually. But that word keeps us going. Build our life together. So that's our positive affirmation segment. Up next, we're going to have prayer of salvation.
So right now, just want to set the atmosphere to talk about the salvation prayer, or it is also known as a sinner's prayer. It is a prayer one would say to repent from sin, ask God for forgiveness, confess belief in Jesus Christ, and accept him as Lord and Savior. Saying a salvation prayer is the first step in your relationship with God. But as I go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. And also, in Romans 10, Romans 10, verse 13, it says, as the scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. And Jesus, he was brought into this world by our Father God. And John 3:16 says that
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have life eternally. So, if you are someone who are seeking to get their life right, who are seeking to allow Jesus to come into their life, say this prayer with me. God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that by his death and resurrection provided my forgiveness. I accept Jesus as my Savior and invite him into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Family, if you have said that simple prayer and you believe in your heart and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died for your sins, you are saved. And I'm telling you right now that angels in heaven are rejoicing. They're clapping because you have been added to the family. We thank you for listening to us today. And we thank you for joining us. And we hope to see you in heaven with us. Take care.
Father, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for waking us up, God, for starting us on our ways, Lord. We just thank you for loving us, God, for showing us your grace and for showing us your mercy. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Father. We ask that you forgive us for anything that we have said or done that is not like you. Continue to build us up and mold us into the people that you will have us to be. We pray that this podcast has touched lives and struck up a spark or a fire in someone that they didn't know they have. We just pray that you continue to bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, so much for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. We are so excited. We're happy that you are listening or, you know, catching the replay. However, we just thank you. This is new to us. We're learning and we're just excited. Like I said before, we just want to share with you all and we really hope that you got something out of it.
Yeah, guys, I'm really excited about this. Doing this with my favorite person in the world, my wife. So, just everything we talked about today, please take it into consideration. If you haven't accepted Christ in your life, you know, please do it today. The Bible says that the man knows not the day or the hour when the Lord is coming. So, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Get your life right today. Come on. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for listening to us today. And we're just so excited about this. We really are.
Yes, so if you have any questions, any comments, concerns, anything, like if you just want to say, you know, what, hey, what's up, you can send us a message via the Anchor app, or you can email us at eternallydallas@gmail.com. Yes, eternallydallas@gmail.com. We can't wait to do our next episode, and we're just excited, so...
And you can also reach us on Instagram. Our Instagram is eternallydallas. That's our Instagram.
Yes.
You can find us there. It's ran by me and my wife.
Yes.
So, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you guys had fun. And have a great day.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.